Now, boys and girls, moms and dads, what do you think of that?
That's very good.
Yes, you're as lively the night as you were this morning. What did you think of that?
Great.
What did you think of it?
Great.
You're not well enough yet. I thought it was excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Maybe next year we'll have yous up singing and us wee ones will sit down and watch yous. All right, I thought it really good, boys and girls. Really enjoyed it again. Now, I have a problem tonight. What time is it? She needs her glasses on. Tim, I looked at my watch coming in and it's dead. No one of them watches the days on you. And I may have been here a number of years ago. And you know what was in the pew? There was a rooster. And it crowed at me from somebody's watch. And it was telling me it's time to quit. Yeah, normally it tells you it's time to rise, but that one was telling me it's time to quit. So I'll have to kind of watch myself. So we'll have no rooster tonight, but we want to take a look, boys and girls, at the Word of God again. We looked this morning at a man, and his name was called... Yes, son. What's your name? Thomas. Well, he was called Saul, and you're dead right, Thomas. Yeah. And can anybody, wee boy or girl, tell me where he lived first of all? You know, what do you call the... Yes? What? No? Aye, well, that's where he come from. Yeah, he was from Tarshish. But where did he come from? What? No? Begins with J. Yes? Amy? I remembered your name. Where did he come from? What? Emma. Go ahead, Emma. Are you sure? Right, Emma. I might call her Amy before the night's out again. Yeah, Emma, you're dead right. He come from Jerusalem. Anybody tell me, moms and dads, where was he going? Look at the hands flying up down there. What? Damascus, that's right. He was heading for Damascus. Can anybody tell me why he was going to Damascus? Thomas. To persecute the Christians and to bring them back bound and fettered. Hey, can anybody tell me what happened as he was getting near Damascus? Yes. Yes. A big light shined in the heavens. Is that what your name, son? What? What's your name? Oscar. Right, well done, son. That big light shined from the heavens. And somebody spoke to him from the light. Anybody tell me who called him? Yes, son. Who? The Lord Jesus called him. That's right. And now, can anybody tell me what happened to him that day? What did he get? He became what? Yes, he became a Christian, and he became a new person. Now listen, sit up, fold your arms, look to the front. Brilliant, watching. He became a Christian, okay, and he began to pray. He began to go out and worship with God's people, and he also began to witness for the Lord. Three specific things changed in his life. And boys and girls, he wasn't only called for salvation, but he was also called to serve. And there's another thing he was called to do, and that was to suffer. When Paul got saved, he asked a question, and this is the question that he asked. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Because the Lord saves us for a purpose. Not just to bring us home to heaven, but that we might serve the Lord here on the earth until the day that he calls us home. And that's the most important thing in the life of a Christian. Whether we're young or old, it's important that we serve the Lord. It's the greatest privilege, the greatest honor, and the greatest joy just to serve and to walk with the Lord. Now, when Paul began to walk with the Lord had a great work for him to do. And he became one of the greatest missionaries that the world has ever seen. A tremendous man of God who went on several missionary journeys and preached the gospel all over the country. Now listen, we have him here. Here he is with his friend. And you know what happened on my way back at this portion of God's word, this part of the story? He was going about different towns, different areas, a place called Asia and Bethania. And he had said to a friend of his prior to him going, he says, "Look, Barnabas, let's go and visit the churches, the areas where we have preached the gospel." And Barnabas and him separated at that time. He went one way, and Paul went another way. And Barnabas took a young boy called John Mark, and Paul took a young man called Silas. And they both went their different roads. Now listen, as he was going about visiting the churches, I love this about the man, because he hadn't only a desire to see people saved, but he had a desire to see them grow in grace and go on with the Lord. You listening? To grow in grace and in the love of the Lord. And he was going about these areas, meeting the people whom had recently come to the Lord and making sure that everything was all right with them. And then he wanted to go into this area here, and he wanted to go into another area there, but the Holy Spirit said, "No, Paul, I don't want you to go." And Paul was bursting in the heart to get in. And Paul's desire was just to present the gospel to these areas that he knew hadn't heard the message, and he had a great desire within his heart to go and preach to them. I tell you, it's something. He speaks to us all, doesn't he? Do I have that bursting desire within my heart to reach out there to a world of sinners lost? And Paul had this desire, boys and girls, and he wanted to go there into Asia, and he wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Lord said, "Paul, Paul, I don't want you to go." So he came down to a wee town, and he bedded down for the night and went to sleep. Yeah. And while he was sleeping, the Lord spoke to him. And he showed him a vision. And in that vision, he could see a man standing. And the man was calling him. Calling him. "Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us. We want you to come to Macedonia." And boys and girls, when Paul woke the next day, the next morning, very early in the morning, he would have hit Silas a dig in the ribs. "Silas, get up. Why? We're going somewhere. Where? We're going to Macedonia. Why? Because God has called us. And the Lord has instructed us." And he left the wee place where he was, a wee place called Troas, and he headed on a sea journey, and it took him some time, and eventually he arrived in the area of Macedonia, but he's going into the city of Philippi, which is in Macedonia, because he knew that the Lord had called him to go into the city and to preach the gospel. So So here he is and he's arriving. He's arriving at Philippi to preach the gospel. And here he's going through the gate. And he's walking in. And he sees a vast multitude of people. But he doesn't say a word. Doesn't speak to them about their need of salvation. He just went in and for a few days he walked amongst them, lived amongst them, observed them. And then it came around to the Sabbath. And my Bible tells me, watch, that he went out to a riverside. He and Silas and others. And he went out. He went out of the city. And he went out by riverside, where it was nice and quiet. And you see, today, I was out for a lovely wee walk just in the afternoon, down a lovely park. And the park led you right down by the riverside. And there was a lovely stillness and quietness as the river flowed by. Do you know why he was here? He was here to pray. We learnt this morning that he was a man of prayer. And do you know what he was there to do? He was there to pray to the Lord on behalf of the people that he's about to preach to. For he knew, you listening? He knew that without the Lord, he couldn't do it. He knew that. And he got down before the Lord. And he began to pray. You say to me, Uncle Everett, what do you think he prayed for? Well, I think there's three things he definitely prayed for. Number one, Lord, would you give these people a desire to sit up and listen? Yeah. Listen. Number two, Lord, as they listen to the preaching of the truth, would you open up their hearts to their need of salvation? Number three, Lord, as you open their hearts, would you then give them the saving grace whereby they'll come and trust you? And after Paul and Silas and those who were with them down by the riverside had prayed and brought the matter before the Lord, they then started to preach the gospel to the people. Now watch. The first meeting that he had on that Sabbath that he was down by the riverside praying, boys, the first meeting he had was a woman's meeting. Now, I don't know how many were at this women's meeting, but this women's meeting was down there by the riverside. And these women had come down on the Sabbath, down to the riverside, out of the city, out of the hustle bustle of the city, and they'd come down, listen, to worship the Lord, to worship God. But there was a problem. Even though these ladies had come to worship God by the riverside, do you know something? The problem in their hearts was this. They didn't know the Lord as their own and personal Savior. They knew about God, but they didn't know God's Son. And they were still in their sin. But they thought because they lived a righteous and a religious life, that that would be good enough to take them to a place called heaven. But boys and girls, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. For there's nothing that we can do that will bring us to heaven. So Paul began to speak to this group of women. And as he began to preach to them, do you know what he told them? He says, listen, girls, I have something to tell you. And boys and girls, I'm going to tell you the same story tonight, the same message. He warned them that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one. And he would probably have explained to them of how they became sinners, of where sin would eventually take them, because the wages of sin is death. And as he preached to these people about their great need of salvation, there was a girl. There's a whole lot of ladies. But do you see this girl? She was standing listening carefully. Her name was called Lydia. And when this man began to preach, and as she listened, God began to challenge her. And what she came to realize that day, she came to realize, I'm a sinner. And if I die in my sin, I can never go to heaven. And while she listened that day, boys and girls, she came to a realization that she needed to be saved. And boys and girls, I want to say tonight, listen, you are no different than anyone in the meeting tonight. All of us need to be saved because of sin. There's not one in the meeting doesn't need God's salvation. And this girl come to realize that I am a sinner. But he didn't only explain to these ladies how and why they needed to be saved, but then he brought them to a point where he spoke about a man called Jesus. And he told them about how God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and me. And there on the cross, boys and girls, you know what the Lord Jesus did? He took all of our sins, and he took all of our sorrows, and he made them all his very own. And he bore the burden to Calvary. And he suffered. And he died alone. And this girl realized not only that she was a sinner, but she realized that the Lord Jesus loved her. And he loved her so much that he went the whole way to Calvary. And he died as her substitute for sin. And boys and girls, that's what the Lord Jesus has done for you tonight. The very same thing. You see, nobody will ever love you like the Lord Jesus loves you. I know your mommy and daddy love you. I know your family love you. But there's nobody loves you like the Lord Jesus loves you. In fact, he loves you so much, boys and girls, I want to tell you something. He stepped out of heaven and he came to earth and he went the whole way to the cross in order that he might die for our salvation. I think that's the greatest love story you'll ever hear. Mom and Dad, do you recognize this? God's Son died for your sin in order that you might be reconciled to God. And this woman, boys and girls, came to realize, oh, I'm a sinner. But I recognize that someone loved me and loved me so much that he was willing to die for me on the cross. And do you know what she did that day? So you see, down by the riverbank, she just got down on her knees and she bowed her head in the presence of the Lord and she asked the Lord to be her Savior. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve wrath and judgment. But Lord, I want to thank you that you love me and that you died for me. in order that I might be saved. Lord Jesus, I just want to ask you now to come into my heart as my own and personal Savior. And I want to tell you something, boys and girls, listen. That's exactly what he did. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that day the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed her from all of her sin. That happened 2,000 years ago. Tonight, she is in heaven with the Lord. I want to ask you a question, boys and girls. Are you ready? Or are you still in your sin? Remember, the Lord Jesus loved you and died for you. And if you trust him tonight here in Coleraine, the same blood that cleansed that woman in Philippi can cleanse your sin-sick soul. And you too can be ready and prepared for heaven and for home. Is God speaking to your heart tonight? You say, Uncle Everett, I know I'm not saved. I've come to realize tonight that the Lord Jesus does love me and died for me. And I want to get right with him tonight. If you would like to do that, you come and speak to your Sunday school teacher, your minister, or come and have a word with me if you would please. And you can go out the door tonight knowing what it is to have your sins cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Mom and Dad, you're the same. I give the invitation to everyone in the room. Don't play about with your soul's salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May God help us all to prepare to meet the Lord before it's ever too late. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for answering the prayers tonight concerning these young ones and all in the meeting. We thank you that you've given ear to hear something we've been definitely praying for. But Father, we've also been praying that you'd open up the understanding of the heart. And that's something that only thou canst do. And Lord, as we have brought thy word tonight and as your Spirit has been at work, we just pray now in Jesus' name that you might give that deciding grace and that sinners might come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus and leave rejoicing in God's salvation. Bless your truth. Glorify your Son, we pray. May he alone have all the preeminence in all things. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.